Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Wednesday, January 4th, and we're glad you're tuned in and listening over the Light and Truth radio network, and appreciate the goodness of the Lord and His blessings on us today. Hope you're enjoying a good day. Amen. Well, we are going to be continuing the message that we began on yesterday's broadcast, actually continuing that throughout the rest of this week, and be closing that message out on Friday. But I hope it is a blessing to you. We're preaching about assurance of salvation. I hope that you know you're saved. Somebody said the next best thing to being saved is knowing that you're saved. Amen. Having assurance. And so we're going to be dealing with that on the broadcast today. But before we go there, I've got a good song here by Brother Travis Alltop, a song that is very, very well known, a song entitled Consider the Lilies. And it's talking about the fact you just look around, you'll see the goodness of God, and you can't help but recognize the love and mercy of God. Amen. So we're going to be having that song up and then the message that I trust will be a blessing to you. Do remember us in prayer. We've got several members that have sicknesses and family members hospitalized, or even some that have passed away, and we're praying for their comfort and their strength. We want to remember these folks and ask the Lord to have His way. Also, we've got friends that are sick and afflicted, a lot of colds and flus and viruses and things going around, even pneumonia. And so we want to pray for these different folks with these different problems and ask the Lord to touch and help. If you would, let's pray together, and then we'll go right to the song. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love You. Thank You for another privilege to be able to pray on the broadcast, another opportunity to present the Word of God in this evening time, weekdays. We're grateful for that. Thank You, Lord, for Your goodness and grace in blessing the radio stations and blessing our church and blessing our family. We want to thank You. I pray, dear Lord, that You'd help these that we mentioned, those that are hospitalized, those that have families that are struggling with health issues. We pray You'd touch and help them. Use the broadcast for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, it is time to look in the scriptures again, and actually for the sermon that we're preaching now in the process here this week, we've got several scriptures that we're using as our text. Our primary text is going to be in Psalm chapter number 35. But we're going to begin by reading some New Testament text to get the context and to bring out the message from 1 Thessalonians 1:5, Colossians 2:1-3, and then Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. And then, as I said, back to the main text of Psalm 35. But my thought and subject for today, I'm preaching on assurance of salvation. So I hope you'll stay tuned and enjoy the message as it was preached live from the pulpit of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. If you will, turn in your Bible to Psalm chapter number 35, Psalm chapter 35, and I want you to hold your place there. That's going to be my text for my message today, but then I've got some New Testament verses that I want to look at to lay the groundwork. So Psalm 35 is where we're going to be taking our primary text. And then turning, if you found Psalm 35, hold your place there, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. I want to underline that phrase, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you, for your sake. Now, if you'll turn back just probably a couple of pages, Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 1, and I'll read these first three verses. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. Again, underline that phrase, all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom
and knowledge. Now turn back to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse 22. The Bible says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. I underline that phrase, in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. I'm going to stop reading there and I will read in Psalm 35. I'm thinking on these three texts that deal with the word assurance. And it talks about much assurance in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. It talks about being comforted with all the riches of full assurance in Colossians chapter 2 verse 2. And then he talks about in full assurance of the faith there in Hebrews chapter 20 or chapter 10 verse 22. I want to preach on the thought, assurance of salvation. This subject of assurance of salvation, I believe, is a very needful subject. Amen. I've dealt with several people over the years, some that live in constant doubt and turmoil, or at least in persistent doubt and fears concerning the state of their soul. Sometimes there is a problem that we're gauging our quote-unquote experience by the experience of somebody else. It is good and healthful for us to examine ourselves. But it's not good that we compare ourselves with somebody else. I want you to notice David in Psalm 35 calling on God for assurance of his salvation. And he's talking about assurance for his own soul. We'll see that in Psalm chapter number 35 here in just a minute. But first I want you to notice that the Apostle Paul's writing in the first letter or first epistle to the Thessalonians. And as he writes there, he declares to them that the Holy Ghost let the gospel go forth. He talks about that in much power and in assurance. Amen. In much power and in much assurance. The Holy Ghost sent the word out, and the idea was that God convicted and convinced those people that they were sinners and that Paul's word were true and that they needed the gospel in order to be saved, and they believed that gospel and repented of their sin and trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior. Paul said there's much assurance in that. You saw that, and it was very clear, amen, that you were convinced by the Holy Spirit and that you have been now saved. Secondly, in Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, he had never met the Colossians. He mentioned to them that they've not seen his face, and yet he had heard of their profession of faith and had rejoiced in that and had prayed for them that they might be comforted. That's the word that he used, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together, verse 2 says, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father and of Christ. Amen. And so he's saying, I want you to be comforted by the full assurance. You know, there is torment in fear. There is torment in doubt. There is confusion in doubt. Paul said, I don't want you to be confused and I don't want you to be tormented. I want you to be comforted in the full assurance, amen, of that knowledge or understanding of the gospel. Amen. And then he goes on in the writing of the Hebrews, whether it's Paul or not, I do believe it probably was, but he says in verse number 22 of chapter 10, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. How do you have that full assurance of faith? He goes on to talk about having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. God done some change on the inside. Amen. There's some change done on the inside. Our heart was sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed, he said, with pure water. I believe that's representing baptism, but he's not saying that baptism saved, but he said God did something on the inside and it's being revealed on the outside and it's showing forth. By the way, salvation is an inside work, but it has outside reference that you can see it, amen, and it can be known. And there's a lot of things we could talk about that. I don't have time to chase all the rabbits. But you remember Jesus, a number of times, Jesus would perform a miracle and he'd tell the people then to show forth that miracle. For example, those 10 lepers, Jesus did a miracle on them, but he said, show yourself to the priest. That was to be a witness to the priest that Jesus was the Son of God, that the Messiah had shown up and that a miracle had been performed that no human being could have performed on his own. Amen. Your life after you're saved by the grace of God is a testimony to the people in your home, is a testimony to the people down on the workforce, is a testimony to those around you that God did a work that no man could do. Amen. So there's an inward and an outward work that is full assurance, amen, of salvation. Now, there are some religions, such as Catholics and some Protestants, that teach that you cannot be assured of your salvation. That you just have to hope so. That you just have to trust that maybe you come down to the end, and if enough prayers are prayed, if enough candles are lit, if enough money is given, amen. One fellow I read after made this statement. He said, he's talking about purgatory. And he said, if there were no purgatory, then there'd be no praying in the Catholic Church and no food in the Pope's pantry. I thought that's pretty good. But it's not just them. There's a lot of groups that believe, or there's at least some groups that believe that you can never know. And when you don't know, you just hope. You are in constant subservience to the priest or to your quote-unquote religious leader. You're at his whim. You're at his favor. And he has you in servitude towards him and your religion. Amen. And that's the way that they live their whole life. But Paul said that's not what we want, and that's not what the Holy Ghost does. The Holy Ghost gives full assurance, he said. The Holy Ghost brings it with much power and full assurance. Amen. And I believe that's what God wants for us. Now, looking at the Old Testament, in Psalm number 35, I'm going to read the first 9 verses, and I'm going to take a text from these and preach my message this morning on assurance of salvation. Look at Psalm 35, verse number 1. The psalmist, it says it's the Psalm of David. He starts off with this cry. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Look at this phrase. This is my text. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Amen. He's looking to God for assurance. He's looking to God for assistance. He's been under the onslaught of the enemy. He's been surrounded and attacked by the enemy. And he says, God, I need you to fight for me. I don't have the strength to fight. I don't have the ability to fight. I need you to fight for me. And the only way that I can have you fighting for me is if you speak to me and you give assurance to my soul. Amen. Verse number 4, let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself into that very destruction. Let him fall. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. So I'm not only underlined in verse number 3, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. But I also underline all of verse number 9, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. Amen. The devil does not want you rejoicing in your salvation. Amen. I realize that we're right in the midst and coming up on the brink of election day in the United States. It seems like every election year we're told that this is the most important election that ever has been in all the history of the world. And that if the wrong man gets in there, it's going to be terrible. And I'm not for voting for the wrong man. I'm not going to tell you how to vote unless you ride with me. I've said that a number of times. You don't have to vote like I do. But we are in that time and there's confusion. People saying, the polls say one thing one day, another thing another day. Depending on who you ask, depending on how it's asked, all these kind of questions asked, who's going to win. And so there's a lot of confusion. And maybe even after election day, there could yet be some confusion when they got to go start counting those hanging chads and all that stuff that's involved in it. I never even heard of a hanging chad until that happened back a few years ago when Al Gore came along. Amen. But anyway, there may be confusion after that. But here, God does not want us living in that kind of confusion about our eternal state. Your soul is much more important than who's going to be president January the 20th next year. Your soul is more important than that election. Your calling and election is more important than that election. God does not want us to live in confusion. God does not want us to live in fear. God does not want us checking which way the wind's blowing every few minutes to decide which way we think it's going to go and live in that doubt and in that worry. God wants us to be sure of our salvation. So he says the psalmist is in this time, and I believe this psalm can be read on two fronts, as many of the psalms and much of the Old Testament scripture can be. First of all, you can see it in the purely physical form of a physical enemy that's come up against David. Some people said, some commentators said, this is probably written when David was fleeing from Saul. David had done no wrong. He talked about, they've laid a snare for me, and I've not done them any wrong. Matter of fact, David would go and rescue some cities, and then those cities would be willing to give up David, turn him over to Saul, and allow him to be killed. David was being persecuted, even though he was doing good, and even though he was trying to do right. He was God's anointed. He was God's chosen, and yet he's being persecuted against, for no reason, I should say, his innocence was being persecuted. And so we can see that in the physical form, and David's praying for salvation and for deliverance, it comes from God. But I believe also we can see it in the spiritual battle that's going on in David's soul, that's going on in David's mind, and that's going on in David's heart. And we can see the spiritual deliverance that is alluded to by the emblems of this physical battle that he speaks of. Look at verse number 3, and again, I'm going to use it in the spiritual realm because he's talking about his soul. He's not talking about his flesh. He's not talking about his throne. He's not talking about his home. He's talking about his eternal soul. He says, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Amen. David was obviously speaking to God. He was asking God to speak to his soul and to give him assurance of his salvation. Amen. Now, meditating on that for a few minutes, I want to point out two main points. I do have sub-points, so don't get excited when I say I've only got two main points. But these two main points that I want to deal with this morning in my sermon. First of all, I want to talk about the matter of assurance, the matter. And then I want to talk about the manner of assurance. And we'll look at the manner in which it is asked, and I believe in which it comes. First of all, there's the matter of assurance. In this psalm, we find David with himself being assaulted by ruthless enemies. Whether he's surrounded by physical enemies or not, we can see that they were enemies of his soul. And he's speaking that, says that very plainly, that these are enemies of his soul. Over and over again, he declares that. He says in verse number 4, he says, they seek after my soul. In verse number 7, he says, they have digged, he's talking about a pit, they have digged for my soul. And so he's talking about his soul and not just his physical life, I believe. And he's also, he mentions again and again, he mentions the angel of the Lord that's going to do the fighting for him. And I don't have those marked, but let me see if I can see those right quick. He talks about the angel of the Lord in verse number 5 and 6. There it is. He says, let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. I believe by him saying so much about the angel of the Lord chasing them away, that's what you want when the doubts come upon you. You want the angel of the Lord to chase those doubts away. You want the angel of the Lord to chase those thoughts away, to chase those fears away. Amen. He's not only said the angel of the Lord's chasing them away, but he said, I want the angel of the Lord to fight against my enemies. Amen. I believe David is talking about demonic adversaries, or at least thoughts and imaginations that war against his soul. Amen. I say that is understandable and applicable to us when we've been there. If you've ever been there, I have. If you've ever been to the place that you're racked with doubt, a place where the thoughts come into your mind and you don't like those thoughts, and You would rather those thoughts would be chased away. You would love for somebody to stand up and fight against those thoughts. You fought them, and you feel like you're getting weaker and weaker rather than getting stronger. And so we see that people that have those feelings of doubt, those emotions and fears and thoughts that cause them to doubt their salvation. And there's confusion that comes in there. There's a weakness that comes in there. They can do like David did. They can pray to God for deliverance. Amen. They can pray for God to give them assurance and to chase away those demonic thoughts. Amen.
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. So we're going to have to break in the message right there, but Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow and continue this message throughout this week. And I would like to invite you to come and be with us tonight for our midweek prayer service every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We'll be meeting here, Lord willing, tonight for that. We'll have special time of prayer around the altar, special time of prayer requests taken from the pulpit, and then we'll have preaching from the Word of God, as well as some good singing together, congregational and perhaps special. Love to have you come and be with us for that service tonight at 7 p.m. We are easily located at 1415 Island Ford Road here in Madisonville, Kentucky. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.